Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. Happy NBA Draft Day,
Day.
Danny. It's Draft Day.
Day.
Starring Kevin Costner, Whelan and Dylan as the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'd watch that.
They need to do a remake.
Seriously, just do it with Hoops.
Sneaky, awesome movie. I will use the word awesome. I love Draft Day.
When
it's on TV, I will watch it and I always enjoy it.
It's on my I always end up watching it list, but I don't love it. I know I don't love it. Like there's a little bit too the weird stuff with like the mom of the owner that passed away, and there's like that weird conflict and like the a little bit unrealistic portrayals of like Dennis Leary is the coach, you know, and like the weird, but like we need a running back. And it's like that's not how people talk to each other. It's how the Giants front office talk to each other. It's not how regular folks
how do you
it,
know?
I guess
we have one window into a front office ever, and it looked a little bit like Draft Day.
It looked kind of like Draft Day.
It was the inept New York Giants this past offseason doing their impression of the movie, basically. But happy Draft Day to everybody. The Wizards on the clock at number 6 and then again at number 18 if they don't move up closer to 6 after that. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA analyst, former executive, will be on the show with us in 55 minutes at 3 o'clock. You will want to hear what he has to say today. We'll get his thoughts on who the Wizards should take. And is there going to be any moving and shaking in the early part of this first round? And we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Before we get to the draft, though, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Few things on my to-do list to run through with you. Number one, it is so hot.
Yeah.
I saw today, while driving into the studio in the Navy Yard, somebody who chose to eat outside of an air-conditioned restaurant. I don't know what the temperature is right now in D.C. It's close to 100 degrees if it's not. What is that person doing? And my bigger question is, why does anyone do anything outside? Like, to me, today, it's very simple. We're not doing playgrounds. We're not going, the kids aren't playing outside. This is a air conditioning day. This is a let's put a movie on, let's run around in the basement kind of day. Why are people outside trying to do anything?
When the local folks in charge are going, listen, we got to cancel stuff that's outside because it poses a danger. And you're like, actually, can I sit outside? Like, it's the summer people. They can't stop being summer people.
Weather's scary in this way, too, because it seems like you're overreacting until you're not, to not do something based on the weather. Does that make sense? Like with water, with flooding, it's like, oh, come on, it's rain. Until all of a sudden...
The flood happens.
The flood and you're like,
okay, yep.
But I think heat's the same way. The other day we were talking about, I don't even remember the name, but there was a K-pop band, Stray Kids. The K-pop band
Stray Cats,
Stray Kids were at Nationals Park. And there were thousands of people in line for merchandise. And I was driving by and I was like, what in the heck is going on? World Series game one's about to be played again. And it turns out this K-pop band was having a VIP, basically, sound check for people to come listen to them hours before their show. So people just came down to the Navy Yard. And apparently the ambulances were shuttling people out of there left and right all day long, trying to get them fluids and stuff. And six people were hospitalized with semi-serious issues from the heat. And I guess my point is, for those people, you kind of go, okay, we're going to have to, you know, stay hydrated. We're going to have to think about being in the shade or whatever. But you don't really take it seriously until all of a sudden you're about to pass out and you wake up and some paramedics got you on a
car. Standing over you, yeah?
The heat, man, it's real. It's undefeated. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
And I
admit defeat for a couple of days.
People just want to say, like, oh, you guys are wrong. You guys are, you just don't get it. I do think that our disdain for the summer has a lot to do with the fact that we shop in the Husky section. And the good people at Copair are doing what they can to change that as we speak. But Danny, it can't be all that. I think it's some of that, but it's not all that, starring Kenan Thompson.
Oh, good one. She's All That with Rachel Lee Cook.
Are you looking for Amanda Bynes?
I don't know about that.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Ladybugs.
Yeah, Ladybugs is Amanda Bynes, where she plays on the boys' soccer team. She's All That. It's like,
oh, the beautiful brunette.
Yeah, she's beautiful, but like she has glasses on, so she's not beautiful, but then she's the homecoming queen or
she's
something.
She's All That. And by the way, the transformation was incredible.
Yeah.
Starring Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. And yeah. I think I got the actress right, Rachel Lee Cook, who I've never seen anything else. The point of the dude's story is, I don't hate it because I got a couple extra layers of skin to protect my muscles, right? Smartly. You people that don't have the extra layers, like, they're just vulnerable. They're just out there. They're exposed.
You're right.
Stupid.
Curious decision.
Yeah, I have soft padding to make sure that I'm taken care of. For me, it's the sweat. You don't sweat. I am the sweatiest person of all time, and I'm disgusting. The instant it's above a certain temperature, it doesn't matter if I'm standing, sitting, walking, not walking, running, jumping, in the parking lot outside of DSW, screaming at my 7-year-old, which happened today. It doesn't matter. I'm sweating so much and I'm so uncomfortable. If I'm going to sweat, it needs to be on my terms. I'm exercising. I'm playing the basketball. I'm playing the pickles. I'll wipe my brow, etc. When I'm in regular run-of-the-mill, just living my life, pouring sweat, it's the most miserable thing that we have. I don't get how people can handle it.
Stay cool. Go get yourself some air conditioning and drink a lot of water. It's a hot day out there. Number two on my to-do list.
All right.
AI is out of control.
Yep.
It's so good. I need everybody to stop what you're doing right now and go to @GrantHPaulson on Twitter. One of our listeners, presumably, but a guy that follows me on Twitter sent me a video that he made with artificial intelligence technology. The video is of my dog, Fiona, at one of our appearances at a sports bar, sitting on the table, mm-hmm. licking Danny Ruye's face. Danny, who hates my dog and hates all dogs, leans down to be licked by my dog, wanting this interaction of my dog's tongue on his lips, and then afterwards gives a smile. It looks like it really happened.
It looks so real.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 100, like if this was in a movie theater, we'd say that the effects weren't perfect. But just for something some guy threw together and tweeted me.
Yeah.
It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
At first glance, I'm going, when did that happen?
Right.
I'm right?
Like, Fiona's licking Danny, what? And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's a 106.7 The Fan backdrop and table and his laptop. He's at the show. He's wearing a headset mic. This is the greatest AI feed I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how I'm going to incorporate this into our friendship more often,
but somehow, some way, this
will not be the last time you see this, I guess, is my point.
Sure, it's going to rear its ugly head again.
How good is this?
It scares the hell out of me. So now here's where it really gets me. It's not so much that you can make something up and after upon further review go, oh, wait a minute, that's not real, right? It's now when I actually see real videos, I don't know.
Constantly.
This is my problem. Not the fake fun ones where there's if you dig for a second, there's a caveat or, hey, this Instagram profile you're looking at isn't real or whatever. That doesn't bother me as much as it bothers some people. It's when I see something that's real and I now have to go, can someone help me? Am I really looking at this or is this a fake thing? How do I take in information?
So I remember telling a buddy, we were talking about AI like 6 months ago, probably. And I remember saying, we're within 5 years away from not being able to tell the difference. And he's like, you think? And I'm like, yeah, I think within the next 5 years, there's going to be probably more audio than video, but you're going to see it and you're not going to know the difference. And I got this week with a video clip that I posted on my Instagram. It was like one of these like nature is wild Instagram accounts when you just do your scrolling reel thing. Mm-hmm. And now saying it out loud is embarrassing and seems so dumb, but it was this gorilla in the wild taking like a heavy, like a branch basically, and whacking an alligator over the head with it like a human would do to like a wild animal. Mm-hmm. And the alligator's like in water and the gorilla's on the water's edge. And he just picks up this really big branch and he just like whacked the heck out of the alligator and like shakes his head. And I thought, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. There's like a baby gorilla behind it.
Yeah, gorilla's mad at the alligator and they're fighting.
It looked 95% real. I wasn't investigating it as being fake. When I did, when everyone started saying, dude, this is AI. Look when he shakes his head at how it blurs. And I'm like, oh, you're right. That's definitely AI. But my point is just scrolling, it tricked me. But that does happen less than the other way. And that's just as scary. Like, mm-hmm. I never talked about that one 6 months ago, where the thing that's real, you think isn't real. Or you just kind of dismiss. Right.
Now, I don't know.
I'll give you a great example. A very, very famous person yesterday that a lot of people have heard of dropped a casual F-bomb
yes.
while talking publicly in a fairly ridiculous situation and setting, right?
I thought it was fake.
I was scrolling and saw it in the morning yesterday, and I was like, that's good. Thinking like somebody made it.
Good job, person that does right. post the. Like, I don't know how to post a meme, first of all. I don't know how.
The same
someone did that. Yeah.
That sent me Fiona licking your face and you smirking. That guy made the clip of this celebrity dropping an F-bomb. And I was like, that's kind of real to life. Yeah, like,
good one.
And then later in the day, I found out just in passing that it had really happened.
Yes.
I'd already dismissed it as AI, like and 7 hours before that.
This is my issue. Not the fake ones for fun. Now, eventually that's going to be bad, where like someone's like framed for a crime or something, or, you know, there's going to be some sort of ridiculous thing that happens, which sucks. It's the, I don't know what I'm watching anymore. Like for real ones, I now think are fake. That's where I actually get irritated.
Here's my question then. This is now a few months after we had the discussion of will we really be tricked in the next several years? 2 years from now, what's it like?
Mm-hmm.
5 years from now.
Like I know when LeBron is saying ridiculous things at the podium and it's doesn't the lips don't quite match the verbiage.
Those are fun.
Fake, fun. I had a good time.
Also harmless.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
Right. Like, where he made fun of Luka Doncic and called him portly, and he yes. made fun of this head coach that I got fired, that head coach 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 I got fired, these 17 players I forced the team to acquire in order to make my agent happy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fake. I get that. I don't have a problem with that. And I'll have a good chuckle like everybody else. But when he actually says something ridiculous, am I going to think that's AI too? Because someone just did a real life one?
It's wild.
That's what I don't like.
Where we're at mm-hmm. already. How fast.
I know.
And by the way, the AI not knowing is the video real, is the video not real situation
mm-hmm.
is such small peanuts compared to some of the other stuff I see. I'm assuming it's real, but maybe it's fake.
Right.
To stay on brand here. But like robots, like yelling back at people in labs. You've seen this stuff? Or like robots that like try to slap a human in a lab.
Yeah.
Straight out of iRobot starring Will Smith. Right.
Where it's like every sci-fi story ever.
Like it's happening.
Goes in one direction and everyone's like, let's sprint forward with rocket ships.
Nobody's ever seen a movie.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever watched anything. But it's I feel like we're like 7 years ahead of where we thought we would be in terms of the toothpaste out of the tube on this a little bit. And so much of it is good. I'm not saying you shut it all down and it's all evil and terrible. I'm just saying it's hard to know anymore.
I'm on that spectrum. I'm way closer to it's all evil and terrible and shut it all down.
You like, are. But I think a lot of it can be good.
I think that's how it all starts. Skynet was a great idea. You know, like the automated defense thing was a great idea. The dog that can do flips or the dancing robots are great. They're all great ideas.
It's going to end terribly because we can't help ourselves and we always want more, 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 more. In a world where we could just kind of take the good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff, this utopian society that I'm creating, it would be very excellent and for everybody to have this technology. But it whatever good is going to get outweighed eventually by you getting absolutely beeslapped by a robot.
So the idea that a super strong robot could show up to like a building that collapsed and quickly move the rubble to save someone inside.
Correct.
That's how it begins. Then the robot goes, well, you know what caused this? Was shoddy human construction. Humans must die. Doom. The great thing that we started off with, the awesome idea, now it's just rolling around Liam Neeson throat chopping people until we're all into oblivion. Like, that's how it always starts.
Big leap of the lily pads from what an amazing video of Fiona licking Danny's face that I was saying.
So my point is, it's terrifying, and we could strike it from the record. Huh?
Anybody? Go check it out at Grant H. Paulson.
It looks so real.
You want to see that. And to KBWFT, who sent me that, might be one of the greatest things I've ever gotten online from a listener in, you know, 14, 15 years at this station. So attaboy and well done. Nats Padres rubber match today. Short show for us. 3:40 pregame, 4:10 first pitch for the third and final game of this series. It's been split through two, but C.J. Abrams and James Wood are dominating their old team. So far, I believe it's still 6 hits, 6 runs, and something like 4 or 5 RBI between the two of them in the first 2 games of this series, both drafted, developed, and then traded by the San Diego Padres in the Soto deal to Washington. And oh, by the way, Mackenzie Gore's on the mound today.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's the coup de grace right there. Hopefully... better start than last time. Would be lovely if he shoved on those Padres.
That was his worst start of the year. He's only had 2 or 3 starts that weren't really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an all-star. He's been an ace. He's pitched like a number one. So you got Gore on the hill with Wood and Abrams at the top of the lineup today, all from the Soto deal against the Padres, looking to take 2 out of 3 in San Diego. But let's turn our attention, Danny, to the NBA draft. And we want to hit the phones on this next. We're going to discuss this. It's actually going to be our poll of the day today on Grant and Danny, so you can go vote on the fans' Twitter account. On 106.7, the fans' Twitter page. We want to know if Ace Bailey's available at 6, do you take him, yes or no? Like, we've had guests on that say if he's there, sprint to the podium, he shouldn't be there. We've also had people, and Kevin Sheehan went hard in the paint yesterday on this, who say, I want nothing to do with that guy. I don't care if you're picking at 11. He quit in the Maryland game, and I just don't like the player and now all the baggage leading up to the draft. Where do you stand on Bailey? If he's there at 6... and in this hypothetical, I would even say, to make it just more about Bailey, let's say the guy you like the most other than him is gone. So for me, that's Trey Johnson.
Same, yeah.
And I can't just take Trey Johnson over him. So Johnson goes 5. And now it's Bailey against someone I don't love. Are you taking him? Yes or no? That is our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long distance, residential, commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. That's next on Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Bobby Marks of ESPN's NBA coverage, former executive, will be on the show in a little over 30 minutes. Between now and then, I do want to talk about some of the rumors on the Commanders RFK 2.0 project and the possibility that a retractable roof could be in play. We'll do that at 2:45 today, right here on Grant and Danny. But our poll of the day, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, is up. The draft is finally here. It's tonight, and the Wizards have the sixth pick. If Ace Bailey is still available for the Wizards at that spot, would you take him, yes or no? Danny, I just voted. I am unequivocally a yes on this, and I think that may surprise people because this is the type of thing that normally grinds my gears, and where if you don't want to play by my rules, if you want to do things your own way, if you want to be a pre-draft malcontent, essentially, you're probably on a no draft list for me a lot of the time. I think this is a special circumstance where the league is about scoring. And at his peak, I'm not sure that there's a better true scorer in this draft than Ace Bailey. He will give you an upside offensively that I'm not sure you can get anywhere else at six. Now, to make the hypothetical work, we said Trey Johnson's not available. That's my favorite player
right out
of Texas. It's the two guard that I want with Bub in the backcourt for years to come. And if they're both there, I would actually take Trey Johnson because I love him. But if Johnson goes five, and now at six, we're talking about Ace Bailey or Con Knipple or Malawach or Fears or something like that, some combination therein, I'm taking Ace Bailey. And it is a risk, and it may blow up in their face. I think you've got to swing big in their situation. And so I am pointing out to the seats, like Babe Ruth in 1932.
Yep.
And I am swinging that bat as hard as I can.
Now, this is a hypothetical that's broken, so stay with me. Would you do that at one, two, or three if he was the quote-unquote most talented guy and you're still swinging big? Or is it kind of those, you know what, we're at six, it's now worth the risk reward is worth it to me?
It's that one.
It's that one.
You know, especially one, in a world where Cooper Flagg exists, he's not a consideration.
Right.
Two, I think Harper has clearly separated himself. At three is where the debate begins. Mm-hmm. I think I would probably take him at three. Again, I happen to be in love with Trey Johnson. A lot of people that know way more tell me I'm going to end up being wrong on Trey Johnson, and that's fine. But like, he's the guy that I've fallen in love with in this class. So for the sake of the discussion, so it's just Bailey-centric,
right,
I keep saying Trey Johnson's not available. And at three, if it's Bailey or Edgecombe, I would take Bailey. If it's Bailey or Knipple, okay, like, it starts there for me. The whole thing's about scoring. That's, to me, what we overthink sometimes. And I know he's a little smaller than we think, and there's some measurables that maybe don't translate.
Yeah, it's not like he's 6'2", though. You know what I mean? Like,
can he get a bucket?
Yeah.
That's the question.
And the answer is yes. This is where I realize I'm probably a hypocrite, and I'm probably talking out of both sides of my mouth, because the thing that I've wanted for so long as a Wizards fan is, please stop going all in for the middle. Please stop mortgaging future first-round picks so you can win the 38th game. Please stop, you know, sending every year's first-round draft pick to Phoenix so you can trade for Marchand Gortat to win that 38th or 39th game while you're, you know, playing Bradley Beal 45 minutes a night. Stop doing that. Try to be great. Do whatever you have to do to be great. And this is an opportunity to do that exact same thing, because your point is 100% correct. That's the second most talented player in this draft, in my opinion. Talking about Ace Bailey. I'm too scared. I'm too nervous. This, to me, is the classic get-you-fired guy, meaning, you take him, and we could fast forward 6 months, and this guy that's advising him And again, he may have turned his life around, but that profile scared the hell out of me. This guy's not a certified agent, has him, you know, like he's pretending that he knows better than everybody else that's ever come before him to manipulate this pre-draft process. And this is the guy that's in his ear. Things that we now look at as fairly sophomoric might be signs of some, you know, ridiculousness to come. I'm too nervous to do it, so I wouldn't do it. And that's, again, it's probably talking out of both sides of my mouth because the upside's undeniable.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Ace Bailey's staring at you. He's fallen to six. Yes or no? Are you pulling the trigger? Elijah's in D.C. Elijah, sorry you got sent to the FCL, but was happy to see you had two hits and a double yesterday. How are you? Elijah?
You can think of this like going to a Greek or a Roman museum. You know how you see all of these great heads, kings or whatever, but they are standing or their heads are on pillars, right? And we have to decide, is this kid a pillar or is he a head that's going to go on the pillar that represents this franchise? For me, a franchise that says 2028 is a year that we're looking for people to be like, yay, progress, you know? So you have to say, is this kid going to be comfortable with coming in scoring and losing? Okay, is he going to be comfortable to say, I can score points and potentially my team is still going to not be good? High-end picks, mentally, that is very tough for a guy. I'm not saying that's just part of the ball game. If you're a good player, there's a chance you're going to go somewhere that you aren't going to be, they aren't going to be cooking until you put something together. Now, I think they are still in a place that they are building their identity or mentally, like, this is how we get down. This is our decisions or how we think about things. It does it before we bounce a ball on the floor. So when you're still trying to make sure that everyone is on the same page of how we're moving, you have to be extremely careful with yielding your identity to talent. This talent.
So
has
yay
to
or
be,
nay? How are you voting on the poll of the day?
I'm sorry if I'm going on.
No, and you're
on.
Good.
I'm at a nay. I'm at a nay because the team hasn't shown me yet that they have enough pieces to support this.
So they're not in a place, essentially.
I actually think it's very thoughtful.
I think it's a good answer. I mean, succinctly, if you're not ready to bring in a possible problem child. But this is what they've got to figure out. I'm not convinced he will be. Maybe he will be. And if that's the case, then you got to get him out of here or it's not going to work. But I think it's very possible he just doesn't want to go to the top three teams. And that's not a crime. I'm not saying I like that you upset the apple cart and you uproot the process and you're bigger than the draft, but we've seen it done when John Elway doesn't want to play for the Colts or Eli Manning doesn't want to be a Charger or whatever. Guiding yourself to a team is going to happen more and more. What I'm actually more alarmed by, and I don't have all the details, so a little bit of, probably irresponsible, like, posturing for me, but it seems to me like the agency that he works with, the agent that he hired, like, he's making bad decisions along the way. That I worry more about than this guy, you know, he didn't work out for anybody. Is he not going to follow any rules? I think what's happening before the draft and how he'll act after the draft are two different things. I watched him as an example training with Giannis in a video that just came out. And it was he and his teammate, Dylan Harper. And it was very clear Ace Bailey was, like, loving the experience, right? Like, mm-hmm. Giannis is like, no. And he's like, telling him, you got a jab step here. And he came off to me like a guy that I was like, that'd be a good guy to have at your practice. Now, it was a 3-minute clip on YouTube or whatever. But I guess my point is, am I worried? Yes. I'm not convinced that this is someone you don't want in your building.
And I just don't. And that's totally fair, by the way.
And how can we possibly know when we don't get to meet him?
Exactly.
We don't get to talk to him. But there are people that get paid millions of dollars with the Wizards that have to figure that out. And you can't be wrong.
Exactly. And I just don't know the answer. And there's a sliding scale where, again, forget. Let's pretend all the other prospects don't exist. I couldn't pull the trigger at one. Probably not two either. Three, I could have that debate. But now you're down at six and there's a risk reward there. Where are you going to be the guy that passes on the second most talented player in the class? Or are you going to be the guy that goes, you know what? Someone else is going to have to deal with it. And it may be nothing, but it might be something. You see what I mean? Like, the mystery box is the way I kind of refer to it. As a player that's got some immaturity at times as an 18-year-old freshman at Rutgers, they didn't win a ton, and there's some holes in his game that are all improvable. I mean, you go to an NBA organization, they'll figure out, hey, your handle isn't as good when you're dealing in traffic. I bet you they got a drill for that. They'll be just fine for player development wise. But the ceiling is undeniable. But he scares the hell out of me.
There's also something funny about, as he falls down the board, the value grows because the juice becomes worth the squeeze. I always look at it the other way too, which is kind of ominous. It gets to a point when you go, if this many teams have passed on him, maybe this is worse than we think.
Like, it's kind of like the Shedeur Sanders corollary.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. Right. I mean, maybe they figured something out. Maybe there is something cancerous about the makeup that he's going to be bringing to my room, or, you know, whether a lot of times it's medical, if I'm being honest, but like maybe there is something that they saw in the imaging and the health. And I know that does scare teams off occasionally. If you trust in your staff and you're good enough and you do it the right way, then you shouldn't really care what 29 or 30 or 31 other teams, depending on the sport, think. But that's a real thing where at 13, let's say, a guy that was supposed to go 3 or 4 is still there and you go, wait, 12 teams have said no to this guy. 8 or 9 probably should have taken him on talent. Do they know something I don't know? And I don't know when that starts.
Right.
But it's almost like a comedy where it's not funny. It's not funny until you punch through the wall and now it's funny again.
Yep.
The great value thing goes away at some point and kind of implodes. I don't think the Wizards are at that spot. I think at 6, you're just in the grab him range. But, and I'm making this up, if he got to 10 or 11 tonight, I think we would know, okay, what we thought was
this
like
was
this
serious,
playful
yeah.
agents just kind of steering him to a team or two. Actually, teams decided, no, thank you. In their interactions with this player, they said, we want nothing to do with him. And I think, when does that begin? If he doesn't get taken in the top 8 or 9, if pick 10 rolls around and Ace Bailey is still there, now we know. This was not really about the Wizards deciding between him or not. He was probably not on their board.
So it reminds me a few years ago, not the same thing, but just trying to draw comps and points of comparison. Cam Reddish was one of the most talented players in the draft. Kid went to Duke, came out after one season. And as he's talent-wise, there's no question he's a top 2 or top 3 pick. He didn't go top 2 or top 3. I think it went 8 or 9 or something like that in a draft the Wizards weren't interested. And that's fine, by the way. It turned out that he hasn't really done a whole heck of a lot. And it's not because of talent issue, right? I mean, again, this profile that I read, really, really good job by this guy who went in depth. This dude who's his agent, not a certified agent, basically he feels indebted to him because the guy plucked him out of a terrible situation, put him on his AAU team, and you know they kind of had this great relationship for so many years. The guy's a convicted felon who's by all accounts turned his life around, this agent person. But it's like he's doing these like attempts at master strokes. Like, look at, I'm playing three-dimensional chess. And it's like, are you, or do you not know what you're doing? And if this is the guy that's in his ear, what is that going to mean going forward? You know what I mean? Like, again, and then there's also the some of the questions about the game where it's like, you got 2 lottery picks on your roster and you can't get a good look against Minnesota. Like, you're struggling to score against Northwestern. Why are you taking all these long twos fading away at the end of the shot clock? Where's the dominance? Where's your dragging your team to victory in a pretty decent Big Ten? You know what I mean? How do you finish 15 and 17, 11th in the Big Ten with the ball in your hands 45% of the time? You know what I mean? Like, there's enough questions where I'm too scared, and that's probably my issue.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. A report came out yesterday that a retractable roof hasn't been ruled out for the Commanders' new stadium. I wanted to provide some important context on that from what I've gathered on the team's stadium planning. Is a retractable roof on the table at the RFK site? We'll get into that next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1.
handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, Bobby Marks of ESPN on the draft, and a busy 24 hours of trades in the NBA offseason. He'll join us in 15 at 3 o'clock. Yesterday, ABC7's Scott Abraham tweeted about a possible retractable roof at the RFK site. He said the Commanders have not ruled out a retractable roof, according to a source. He said the team is also having conversations about keeping RFK in the new stadium name, according to a source. So a couple of things on that. I think, number one, he's obviously right. It has not been ruled out. They don't have a blueprint. They have not contracted a architect yet. They don't know the design. So how could you possibly know if it's going to be a retractable roof or not? And the team's new president and the people around him have not spoken publicly about whether or not there would be a retractable roof, nor have they said that there wouldn't be one. I know from my past conversations with Jason Wright, as well as many other people in and around ownership and with the team in multiple iterations now, what has always been said to me is a retractable roof is not that practical because of the cost and how rarely you actually use the retractable nature of it. And the idea now for teams is to build a roof. And I think what they're trying to do, best I have been told, is not to build a retractable roof. I don't think that that is necessarily legitimately on the table. It hadn't been ruled out. It's a possibility, depending on how things go, if they want to spend a lot more money. But with the $1.1 billion and the current idea that they have, this will be a roof that allows them to bring nature inside so you feel like you're outside, like they're doing now at SoFi, like they're doing in Minneapolis, like they do at Allegiant in Vegas, where the doors and the windows open and the air comes in. You can sit there in an open-air stadium as if you're outside on a 76-degree September day. The roof is translucent, essentially almost glass and see-through, so you feel like you're outside. That's what they're trying to do. There will be a roof, so there's no rain and there's no snow, and the elements are largely gone, and people won't like that in terms of, you know, weather games. And the roof doesn't come and go. It's just there all the time. But there will be ways where they can literally open doors and windows almost like a garage. Think like you're in a restaurant. And sometimes they'll open those big garage doors and all of a sudden there's a breeze and it's sunny and you feel like you're on a nice spring day kind of outside. That's the idea. That's what they're trying to do.
So people hear dome and they go, Astrodome, Superdome. Like the old
40
thing.
Years ago.
Correct. In 1970, whatever, when that was the modern Marvel, that's as good as you got. They can do a lot more now, right? And so that's what I'd expect. So the... I just thought that was strange, that tweet from Scott. I mean, and he heard from somebody and he's putting the info out there. I guess it's what he's supposed to do. But that's always kind of dead on arrival to me. especially because what are we haggling over? What's not you and me, but what's happening right now this minute? The DC Council, what are they talking about? They're not going, can we add money to this project? Is there more? Josh Harrison Company are about to spend more than almost anyone else has ever spent. They're not going to go, we should probably add $1 billion to this and have something that we'll use seven times over the course of the first 10 years of the project, right? Like, no. Part of the design is the thing that you're talking about, where you get almost the retractable roof.
Yeah.
It's everything short of a retractable roof. It's the, yes, you get airflow from this. Yes, you get sunlight from that. And yes, you can have this open air thing and have these cool experiences. No, the roof isn't going to move because, again, I don't know anything. I'm not an architect, but that adds $1 billion. We don't just have the extra Billy around. If we did, I don't know that we'd use it for that, quite frankly. We'd do something else. It's, to me, it's a non-starter. It's what I wanted. And then I heard that information and I went, oh yeah, right. I guess that makes sense. The stadium, the roof never opens.
And I wouldn't say it's a 0% chance. I mean, they could just decide in the end, they're going to fork over a lot more money to do that because it allows you to, I'm making this up, but let's say host an event that you wouldn't otherwise, or because you heard from your fans and all of a sudden you got enough billionaires and the 17 people that own the team, they say, well, let's just throw some more money at the project. I'm just saying that's not realistic or shouldn't be expected. That's also not the current plan. The current plan and what they've been planning for an extended period of time is to have a roofed, closed stadium. That was a demand by DC and the mayor. If you want to have a stadium in the city, it's got to be closed. Now, you could have it be able to be opened at an exorbitant amount of money. And when that happens, by the way, we've talked about this on the show constantly, you don't open it that much. There's going to be some fall dates where it would be open on a September or October day, perhaps. But in November, when there's a chance of rain, you're closing it. It's not like with a retractable roof, you're going, we like the weather. You know, we want a snow game today. That will never happen again with a retractable roof or a roof. Because the moment weather comes into play, it's not like baseball where you build the dimensions around your team. You got a fast team that bunts, so you grow the grass higher in the infield. No. When you have the ability to close, it's about the comfort of your fans. It's about getting people to come and be willing to sit there for hours all day long instead of leaving their house where they don't have to pay money for tickets. It's about putting the best product on the field and helping your team score points and not slip and fall and make, you know, a situation harder to stay healthy and make injuries happen more frequently. So you basically need a window of like kickoff temperature between 60 and 75 with no precipitation or the chances like under 25% or something. And if you go back through, I guarantee there's plenty of dates like that in late September into the end of October, probably. So there would be some games every year, but the vast majority of them, the roof would be closed anyway. And so it just doesn't become financially practical, even though it is the perfect situation. And if you were Stan Kroenke and you just dug into your pockets for a $5 billion stadium, maybe you do that. He didn't need to in California. It doesn't rain enough. But maybe you do that here. That's not what they're doing. They have a $1.1 billion operation right now, and that's their plan, and that's what they're doing.
Right. So, yeah, it, to me, it's always been a non-starter. Not always. But it when I was listing my things that I wanted years ago on this wish list type topic that we had in like 2017 or 2018, something like that, I'll go, I love a retractable roof because I'm with you guys. I'd love to have outdoor elements when it's nice in the fall.
It'd be the number one thing on my wish list, by the way. I just don't think it's real.
But I just don't think it's real. That's the way to put it, right? It is simply not practical in a place where money is an object.
Yes.
You know that phrase, money's no object? Money's very much an object in this one.
And it just is. Maybe if Josh Harris was going to build a $3.5 billion stadium by himself, you'd have a retractable roof. I'm not saying he should be. I'm just saying if he wanted to Kroenke this thing, $5 billion, SoFi, I don't need any of your money. I'm doing it myself. Then you'd get your retractable roof and everything else that you want. That's not what they're doing, though. They're spending more on than any project in the history of DC, and they're spending at a percentage rate higher than any ownership group ever has in a split, essentially, with a team, 76% at $1.1 billion. But that's one thing where they go, it'd be nice, not necessary. A roof is plenty good enough. And that's what they're going to do. Their goal, because they've heard from people, is to make sure on those nice days mm-hmm. that you don't feel like you're inside. It's not, you know, just a bunch of like the Tropicana Field, you know, with an actual dome, right, to your point. But it's also, it's not going to be like an unfinished top of a restaurant with like vents and stuff. You're just looking up at the rafters. It's going to look like a glass panel and you're going to see the sun. I mean, that's their goal. There's going to be, I keep referencing Allegiant, but that's the one place I've been that had this tech where basically the wind is coming from like one side because it's wide open in this indoor stadium. And you're like, you kind of feel like you're outside. And the best comp I have is when you sit at one of these restaurants with a big garage door.
There you go.
That's what they're trying to accomplish in the stadium. And there's now technology that 10 years ago didn't exist that allows you to do that. I think it's the happy medium for people that want. There's going to be people that are unhappy that want to go to snow games
without
rain games. You know, everyone laughs and calls me names because my point is, I would never willingly want to do that. But a lot of people want to do the tough guy thing where like, give me a snow game, I'll be the last one to leave with frostbite, and like that's cool. But it's harder to sell tickets. It's harder to get families to go, and most people don't want that. They would rather sit at home in 70 degrees and eat their chips and dip.
Yeah, they'll point out that, you know, the Northeastern team or the cold weather team dealing with the warm weather team that's got to come visit them and, you know, around January football time, there's a historical advantage to that. You may be right, but are you going to that game tearing your shirt off like you're at Soldier Field in the 80s? Like, I don't know. I think it's easier to say, and you might ultimately be right about that, but the whole world is trade-offs. And you're making some trade-offs here. Like, if you'd rather have it in the middle of the wilderness where you're driving 3 hours and in the middle of nowhere and you can have the outdoor stadium, have at it, Hoss. This is kind of what you got to do, I think, to build it here.
I favorited this tweet at the end of May, not knowing if I'd ever get to read it on the show, but if it came up, I wanted to. And today's the day. From somebody who covers the Ravens for our sister station 105.7 in Baltimore, Cordell Woodland. He says, when asked about the potential for a retractable roof at M&T Bank Stadium, so that's the Ravens Stadium, which is about the same age as Northwest Stadium, and they're trying to upgrade it. The SVP of marketing for the Ravens was asked, as you guys refurbish this stadium, are you going to do a retractable roof? And he said, and I quote, this is the AFC North. We play football outside, which is cool. I thought it was an awesome quote, and there's like a badge of honor, Browns, Bengals, mm-hmm. Ravens, Steelers, like we're playing snow games. And like, that's cool. Their fans are going to be more miserable in the snow than Washington's fans are going to be on the same night when it's 71 degrees in their stadium. And some people don't like that, and I get that. But the majority of people do, and the money's going to speak. All right, next, let's bring on Bobby Marks. It is draft night in the NBA. He's a former executive in a front office who has been in war rooms on this day. We'll ask him about the process and what happens at 6 with the Wiz tonight on Grant and Danny. We are Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for making the show part of your day. We are brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad. They're our buddies. Local guys, went to Lake Braddock High and George Mason University, and they'll take care of you on all of your important needs, whether that's a last will and testament, a living trust, Medical power of attorney, they got you covered. Fairfax office, kmlawyers.com is how you can find them. Mention us, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Right now on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, we find our pal Bobby Marks of ESPN's NBA coverage, a former front office executive and a front office insider. Bobby, it does feel like, because we're about 5 hours away from the draft, the Wizards holding the 6th and 18th picks tonight, that we know what's going to happen at picks 1 and 2, and everything kind of starts after that, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly Cooper at 1, and then Dylan Harper at 2, and I would say probably most likely VJ Edgecombe at number 3, which is Philadelphia, and then it certainly opens up here. I think, you know, how we've kind of looked at this year's draft is, you know, at least in the lottery portion or up until, you know, 9 or 10, is that you've got the one tier with Cooper and then Dylan in tier 2, and then there's a group of, I would say, probably 5 or 6 players in that next tier, which are all, it's a, based on what you're looking for from a position. You need a big, you need a point, you need a score, some athleticism here. So it is a good group of guys with little separation here. So it's going to be an interesting night. It's going to be interesting of who's going to try to move up to get, you know, maybe get the 4 or get the 5. What's the cost to do so? But it's a night I'm looking forward to.
Bobby, in your executive roles over the years and now as an analyst, how do you balance somebody like Ace Bailey, who is undoubtedly talented?
Yeah,
that's not a question. It's the other stuff. And I don't know if it's bad. We just don't know. This is like that, like reach your hand into the mystery box, right?
We've talked about it, and we're probably going to continue talking about it tonight. It doesn't bother me at all that a player doesn't go do a team workout or does a visit. I think you guys cover the NFL a lot, and you know there are circumstances. Probably Eli Manning, right? He kind of tried to maneuver which team he wanted to go to, and didn't go to San Diego. And so that doesn't bother me. I think the thing what would bother me is the responsibility factor. If you schedule a workout and you don't show up, and you basically blow off a team, that would probably bother me. I think how teams have to evaluate him is based on what he did at Rutgers, what his upside is going to be. Who he is as a person. Probably a handful of these teams have had the opportunity to interview him in Chicago. They've certainly scouted him. He's young, you know, I mean, he's a position of need. You know, he's a young, Plim and Cooper are really young from an age standpoint. He's got a terrific mid-range game. Everything else is kind of a work in progress here. So it's, you know, that's the beauty of the draft. Some of it's just kind of gut, right? You're kind of relying on your scouts and figuring how he works in with you. I do think the one benefit that coming to, you know, visit a team is the, you know, the coaches who you have on your staff, as far as they're going to have to coach him and know who he is as a person here. So we'll see what happens with what Ace did. And I said this to our group. I said, listen, getting picked at 3rd or getting picked at 6th or 7th is going to cost them probably about $15 million. And if Ace Bailey's fine with that, we probably all should be fine with that also.
ESPN NBA analyst Bobby Marks, former executive in the NBA, tapping into that past element of your career again, you know, in this pre-draft process. How much are you thinking about next season when you're drafting players and kind of what your current roster construction is, as opposed to maybe the 2, 3, 4 year plan? Because we were talking a lot the last couple of days about what the Wizards should do, and it keeps coming up from different guests about what the construction is right now. And this is a team with $115 million coming off the books next year. It would seem to me like they're very early in a much larger plan, and that's got to somehow be a factor in what they do tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I think Washington is certainly different, and you know where they are at 6 and 18, and generally we know that how much flexibility they potentially could have in the 2026 offseason. I do think when you're in a position like that, it's almost like you're going to paint a picture, and you know, instead of just wanting it to paint the picture blue, because that's what it says it should be, you're going to go out and buy like 8 different paints, and then you kind of just figure it out. I do think you look long term when you're picking. Certainly at 6, it's not based on, hey, we need a wing or we need a point guard. It's a combination of best available, who maybe has the best upside. Also, which sometimes you get into a little bit of trouble with that. It's hard really hard to predict upside unless you get, once you get them into your own gym here. But it is about the long-term plan as far as what they're trying to do.
So in terms of that long-term, there's a, I still feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you see it differently, but it feels to me the Wizards are very much in the, let's just get as many good assets as we can and put them in a pile. Eventually we turn into, okay, let's make some of the pieces fit. I think they're in the gathering phase, whether it's picks, whether it's cap space, whether it's good players who they want to keep, et cetera. When does that conversion point happen for you? Like, what's kind of the line of demarcation where you go, all right, attention of a organization. We are no longer gathering assets. We're now trying to make some of these pieces fit. Where does that turn happen?
Next summer. It's next summer, just because I look at, you know, that A, you're going to add a couple of young players to what you already have with Alex and Bilal and Bub and, you know, the group there. And you are, you know, I think that the pick that you potentially could owe to New York that's protected 1-8, I think that hangs over your organization a little bit because, and next year's draft is better than this year. And I know Wizards fans are like, oh my God, we got to go through this again. I mean, trust me, it's really good. but I do think, but there is a point, right? Like when, especially in the Eastern Conference, when it can turn really quick in a good way, we saw what Detroit was able to do this past year, where you do get to a point and like, okay, we've collected as many draft picks as we wanted. We've got 8 young players on our roster. We've got $100 million in cap space. All right, we have to, how do we combine all that together here and take that next step? And I think this is going to be another year of, you know, development. It's going to be a high priority. We'll see what happens with some of those expiring contracts that they have. But I do think next summer is the summer that you begin to turn that corner.
Bobby, you ran through the core that they have built so far. How do you actually like that group in terms of what they could be with upside at their ceilings? And specifically after yesterday's pool trade, could you see a lot more of Bub Carrington running the point this year?
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. I mean, I think the pool, and you know, we didn't get to see Sadiq just because he was, you know, coming off that injury. But I do think, you know, trading Jordan opens up a lot of different optionality as far as how Washington's going to use their roster. I think CJ in the group and Marcus and Chris, I think there's no better veteran mentors that you would want in a locker room. Than those three players here. But yeah, you're going to see more, opportunity, more upside. I think when you're looking at it, I'm a big fan of Coulibaly. I thought there was great moments last year with Alex. I mean, if you're ranking core young players, I mean, I like their group probably maybe better than the group in Utah, which has 9 guys under the age of 23. And I do think it's one thing to draft a player, but it's another thing is like, you know, where is he 2 years from now or 3 years from now? Because eventually that contract comes up and then you have to make a decision on him.
Bobby, I know it's so dependent on what happens before them, trades or, you know, team's proclivities, but just given kind of how you think the board's going to shake out, what do you like for the Wizards at 6?
Yeah, I think there's probably a chance you're going to be staring at Ace Bailey at 6. And I think you're going to have to make a decision. If you feel like he's the best available, I think certainly Cooper, Dylan, I think VJ Edgecombe likely at 3. 4 gets interesting with Charlotte. I think Tom Knipple possibly. 5 is Utah. You know, you can, you know, Jeremiah Fears, Trey Johnson, certainly the Wizards at some number 6. They're going to get a good player. I think it's just a matter of like, if you have Ace Bailey staring at you 6, I think you got to take him. I really do. And I think you bring him in house. And I think from a developmental standpoint, based on his age and the talent level alone, I think is worth the risk.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, you'll see his analytical work continuing in their busiest week of the offseason, maybe as he joins us here on Grant and Danny, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes. Bobby, specific to the 18th pick, last year, as excited as they were about Sarr, the draft kind of revolved around them going up to get Carrington, the guy they were really giddy about. They would like to move up, it sounds like, from 18. What would that take and what would that look like? Walk me through some scenarios there if they don't stick and pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're trying to move up, to, you know, from where you are at 18, as far as what you have, as far as, you know, does it cost you a future one? You remember you acquired a pick in the, at the deadline, I think it's in 26, that, you know, that it's the least favorable, at first, and it probably could be tail end of the first, I think next year. What is the cost to get up there if you want to get to? And that's the beauty of it, because everybody sets their board, and then you know they might be at coming down the pike, and they see a guy that's like their 10th best prospect, and you're getting the 13 or pick 13 or 14, and he's still there, and you're like, okay, how do we get up four slots here? I do think they have enough to, whether it be first, whether it be seconds, to do it if they wanted to. It's a matter of, and I think then it becomes more of kind of fit a little bit too, as far as who. Who you're looking to pick. I do think it's a lot has been made about the top 10 here, but I do think, you know, once we get out of the top 10, I'm a big Nick Clifford fan who plays at Colorado State. He's a big wing. You guys saw Thomas Sorber a little bit at Georgetown before he got hurt. Derek Queen, we'll see where he is, the Maryland player. So there is some quality outside once we get outside the lottery here.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off that. You mentioned Nick Clifford. Give me a couple guys, not necessarily in terms of rankings for you, but a couple guys where you go, you know, I just like this guy, that somebody you'd advocate for in a front office later, maybe in that first round, trading back in, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I said Nick, Nick averaged 10 rebounds last year as a 6'6 wing. Danny Wolf, who was at Michigan, he's kind of an interesting story because he went from Yale to Michigan here. Rashear Fleming, who's at St. Joe's, he's a huge wing. I love guys that can come in the league and defend. Right now, I think there's certainly a bunch of guards out there. Yegor Demon, who played at BYU, is a huge wing or guard. You know, he's 6'9". So there is, Liam McNeely will probably be there, who was at UConn. He's another, big wing at 6'7". So there is there's a lot of other names outside of, top guys in the top 8, top 9.
So Bobby, we'll let you out on this one. It has been a very busy week already in player movement. The Durant trade is a headliner. We had a move today. What else should we be monitoring here? What are the big storylines for you? Not just draft night, but in the days ahead as the NBA offseason kicks off hot and heavy.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't billed as the greatest free agent class, and certainly you see Fred VanVleet going back to Houston and Kyrie Irving back to Dallas here. We'll see what happens with James Harden with the Clips. I think I'm interested to see what Milwaukee does as far as how they add to their roster around Giannis. Denver, of course, is a team to circle as far as how they, they have said, they're going to improve their depth. We'll watch how they do that. They got a new general manager. Of course, the Lakers, as far as how do they go out and find a center. Certainly Boston has done a lot of their work already as far as, shedding significant money here. But it is interesting that we have a little bit of an arms race in the Western Conference when you have a team that won 36 games last year in Portland goes out and acquires Drew Holiday in a trade. What are some of the teams in the Eastern Conference, whether it be, we saw Orlando and maybe it's Atlanta with, adding Porzingis. It's the Eastern Conference is as wide open as we've seen. And it'll be interesting as far as who's that next team is going to take advantage of that.
Bobby, great with us as always, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the draft tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
ESPN's Bobby Marks on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I think that's the whole story tonight. Just walked by a TV screen in studio a few minutes ago. Down in the green room, and it was ESPN, and the Chiron said, what's the number one question in tonight's NBA draft? And the first answer was, where does Ace Bailey go?
Yeah.
And Washington find themselves right now the epicenter, maybe, of the dialogue. But Marks, who's served in many a front office, saying, I think you're going to be staring at Ace Bailey at 6, and I think you're going to have to make a decision, and I think you have to take him. Very possibly doesn't get there. It's always funny how little we know when the draft actually starts.
Totally true.
But that is the noise right now. If you believe any of the swirling winds, they are that there's a really good chance Bailey falls to Washington, and now it's going to be up to them to stop his fall.
Yeah, that's decision time, right? I mean, is your organization strong enough to deal with any, sort of off-season, or not off-season, off-the-court buffoonery or chicanery or whatever? is there even that? Is it just innocent 18-year-old thinks he knows better than the process? Might get humbled and might come to work and be great right away. You've got to know when you pull the trigger, because these are these instrumental. Do you have a building block or not? They're in asset. And you heard Bobby say this very well. They're in asset gathering mode. I don't worry about what pieces fit. You don't go, well, they already have a point guard. I don't give a damn. You get me 15 great assets. That could be first-round picks. That could be expiring contracts. That could be good players. Then we'll figure it out. They're in the acquiring mode of assets.
They also don't have good enough players to not do something
correct.
Else. I could sit out and say, I'll let Bub Carrington and Alex Saar have another year before I impede their progress. Mm-hmm. They're not good enough right now that I can't draft someone to take reps away from them. But if your point is their ceilings are big enough, even Bilal, who I think is a really nice extra piece role player, like, I'm not going to pass on a guy I really like because I have Koulibaly. I would do that based on sheer upside and ceilings with Saar, last year's number two pick, and Bub Carrington. Really quickly, though, Danny, tonight's the first time. It's only the first round. And then tomorrow is going to be the second round. A two-night, two-round extravaganza now for the NBA. Respectfully, this is not the NFL, right? I mean, this second round is for the marks who love college basketball and study the game, you know, European, internationally, that know some of the prospects. You're really going to have to want it to sit through every pick in round two tomorrow. That's normally tough television. I think it's going to go off okay, though, because my guess is they kind of make it a TV show about the NBA offseason. I think there's going to be a lot of rumors and innuendo and talking about who might be traded and who's already been traded. And Kevin Durant's name will come up 1,000 times. And they'll have boards where they show the most likely teams to win each conference. And my guess, it's going to be editorialized with Stephen A. Smith and different people yelling about, you know, who the next choker is. And I don't think it's going to be a traditional draft show. I don't think it necessarily can be as a standalone second round. So my guess is, as programming, it will work. But it's also kind of odd to break the draft up into two rounds. I know why they're doing it, and why if the NFL had it their way, they would do a round a day for 7 days. Mm-hmm. But they could do that. Like, people will watch that. The second biggest sport in America is college football. Not to say that college basketball isn't big, but I'm curious to see how night two goes.
Me too. And I think you're probably right. I think it's astute about how the programming would work, because I don't know that you can break down, you know, Nebraska's Bryce Williams going to Cleveland at pick 50. You know, and to have people be riveted by that. It's like, with college football, to your point, you've heard and seen most of these guys. And there's an industry that's doing this 24/7, 365. There is for basketball too, but it's not consumed the same way, right? It's not, for whatever reason, outside of the first, you know, 7, 8, 9 picks of the lottery. I don't know how familiar people are with, you know, the Nick Clifford out of Colorado State. You know, I don't know how people have consumed all year long. I mean, Colorado State folks know, people that watch the Maryland team play them know, but, you know, outside of that, who knows? So I think ultimately the way to do it is what you're talking about, right? Just make it an NBA show where you analyze what happened last night in the first round, what the history of some of these picks and what they've done in the past. Because a lot of times a second rounder isn't even really a second rounder. It's a lot of like Juan Carlos Navarro, where they draft his rights, but then he's going to stay in Spain for 10 years and, they stash him here. He's a G League guy there. Just sort of some of the machinations to help explain to folks what it is they're actually seeing.
A star has been born, and I really believe Danny's going to be angry about this. Nothing to do with the NBA draft. We'll get into that next. Plus, there's a term, a rage something. What is the thing you were telling me about?
Crash out.
Crash out.
Yep.
What are Nats fans crashing out about on this road trip out west? Something happened, and it had Nats fans in their feelings. We'll get to that as well. Before we say goodbye, Nats baseball coming up at 4:10, pregame at 3:40. Short Grant and Danny today. We're back next on The Fan. Lovely sports day ahead in D.C. NBA draft tonight, about 4.5 hours from getting underway. Wizards pick 6 and 18 in round one. And the Nats and the Padres are playing a rubber match series on the line at pristine Petco Park in San Diego, one of the best ballparks in America. People say all the time, like, have you been there? Have you seen a game there? I have been to, but have not been into Petco Park for a ball game.
Oh.
It is number one on my list. I was supposed to have gone there. Now it's been probably a decade almost for the All-Star festivities, and my appendix went on me 3 days before, and so I wasn't able to get on the plane and go out there. So I had the flight, I had the hotel right there in the gas lamp district, and was going to enjoy 4 days in San Diego, the most beautiful city in the country.
When was that?
I think I always mark everything by what was going on at that time in sports.
Yeah.
Danny Espinosa had a streak with like four home runs and nine RBIs in 3 days.
Where he like couldn't stop hitting grand slams.
I believe if I had to guess that it was around 2014. But if you told me it was 2016, I'd believe that.
Okay. Because I can't, I'm trying to remember that. That were we doing the show together and you had like your appendix burst or whatever?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All-Star game in San Diego.
San Diego wins.
Looks like 1978. That's not the one.
That's not that one.
2016, no. Petco Park.
There you go.
So 2016, I was supposed to have been there and wasn't, but it just looks awesome.
It's so gorgeous. I've never been to San Diego. That's a place I'd love to visit at some point.
You've never been to the city?
I've never been to San Diego, not even a single time.
Guy.
I've never been.
Not doing the, like, you got to do it thing, but let me do the you got to do it thing. What a city.
It's on my list. It just seems perfect.
It's so beautiful. I mean, it is the best. Nashville's still the one seed for me.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit of wanting barbecue. I'm not even a country music guy, but like everyone to wear sundresses, or a lot of people to wear sundresses.
Right.
In me. So I'm a big fan of Nashville. San Diego's pretty damn great.
I would do that.
I don't think Ron Burgundy told any lies.
That honestly like opened up my eyes to him. A couple of my teammates were from San Diego in college, and like they wouldn't stop talking about how great San Diego was, and I'm like, well, why'd you come all the way out here then? Why didn't you just go to like UC San Diego or like San Diego State or something like that? But anyway, yeah, I've always wanted to go. That park looks perfect with that, whatever the thing is in left field. It's not a warehouse. I always think of the warehouse because of Camden Yards, but that iron factory or ironworks or whatever the thing is, just is so cool.
Danny's gonna be upset here, but a star has been born. Bruce the Bat Dog, who we talked about getting called up to the Nationals and making his Nats Park debut earlier this month, a little under 2 weeks ago, today made the rounds. I believe Bruce the Bat Dog today was on Good Morning America, and he was on MLB Network this afternoon. I watched Mark DeRosa get down on all fours and smooch Bruce the Bat Dog, the Golden Retriever, from the Rochester Red Wings, who got called up to the Nationals, who's their big addition of the offseason. They don't spend money on players.
Yeah.
They don't need to. The Angels back in the day had Roger going like this because Angels were in the outfield, and he knew when Christopher Lloyd was going to help them out and carry someone to a catch or something. The Nats have Bruce the Bat Dog. And so he is going viral, Danny. He made his debut.
Yeah.
And you were thinking, oh, this will be the last time we hear about this.
No, I know better.
Good Morning America got involved.
Yep.
I think that's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And MLB Network. He got interviewed today on two different national shows representing the Washington Nationals.
5-17 in June. They've lost 14-17. So it's not cute. Nothing's cute about it. Nothing's funny about it. Now to stupid tourist shows with like, we're coming up. We have a great recipe. Something else you can do with fizzy soda. Stay with us. Those dumb shows that should all stop immediately and everyone should apologize for every segment and every second of every day. They're so embarrassing. Coming up, you can actually wipe up a spill with something in your house you wouldn't expect. Stay with us. Cancel. Everyone fired. Everyone apologized. Handwritten letter.
Everyone fired.
Door to door apologizing like John Cusack in the movie, holding up a boombox, except it's just an apology where you wasted our time and you have just produced nothing but drivel for a long, long time. That's that level. That's the level. That's the kind of show that a bat boy dog should be on. Major League Baseball, please act accordingly. Please. That's all.
The Nats aren't not acting accordingly. I mean, well, to be clear, they are not acting accordingly. They're losing a lot of baseball games and not playing great baseball. But that's got nothing to do with the Bat Dog. That's got nothing to do with Bruce.
No, there's
baseball people, Rizzo and assistant GMs and the coaching staff.
Sure. Hands are tied. I need the GM of the Rochester Heartthings to not be like, he's going to make a plautastic impression down there in D.C. when he gets the paw up. No. Apologize.
He never said either of those things.
He did. There was a statement. When he came up, he made a statement.
Right, but he didn't say those words. He called him a paw spec.
Yeah, make no statements.
And he said he signed pawtographs.
Make no statements.
You said you made up. Those weren't terms he used.
Right.
He signed pawtographs as a paw spec.
Make no statement. Tell me why you guys are 70 games under 500 over the last couple of years. I want no statements. I want nothing. I want nothing of the sort. It's for the Savannah Bananas. It's for the Circus Sideshow. This is not a Circus Sideshow. This is professional baseball. Back to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And now that it's back to me, I would just like to offer that the National C.J. Abrams, James Wooden Company, they're playing baseball.
There we go.
They're out there doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing and trying to hit and score and win. This is just a different thing altogether.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a couple of people that aren't baseball people saying, let's send a dog around in a Nats jersey to do some TV. That's all.
Yeah.
You can have your cake and eat it, too.
A, what's the point of cake if not to eat it? I've never understood that expression.
That's fair.
B, this is what this is, right?
Just acknowledge one thing, and then we'll move on.
What?
He's a really good prospect.
No.
He acknowledge this, then, if you won't do that. You'd love his pawtograph.
No. I refuse to do that. Again, that's, I guess, coming up. We'll have a chance at see if he's more bark than bite. Stay with us. No to all of it. You all suck. Every one of you sucks. Michael Strahan had 22 sacks in a season. And now he's like the vacuum cleaner that cleans itself. Back to you. Shut up. It's so embarrassing. It's all so awful.
Oh, man.
I don't know who it's for, but whoever it's for, they're going, guys, we're going to have Bruce the dog tomorrow.
Bat dog. Say it right.
When he plays fetch, a bat comes back. What? Come on. I don't believe it.
Bruce the Bat Dog.
Apologize and feel shame. I want the shame to hit you like a Mike Tyson Tiger uppercut in the late 80s.
I don't think Bruce the Bat Dog's going away.
No.
I think you got to buckle in.
Yeah, people think it's cutesy and awesome. Again, that's for the Savannah Bananas. Shouldn't be for us.
It is time for the leadoff ahead of Nationals baseball. Brought to you by the Window Man. Since 1989, the Window Man has been the educational window company. Get your free in-home estimate or visit thewindowman.com's all-new Fairfax showroom. Actually, interestingly, the Nats lineup filled out today by Bruce the Bat Dog. He got to choose the lineup. They did a thing where they like put all the names on paper, and then he had to go over and like lick each one, and that's how they did the lineup. So Danny's got Bruce the Bat Dog's lineup. Here's how they're lining him up for the skipper of the day, Bruce the Bat Dog.
Ruh-roh. Yeah. Mackenzie Gore on the bump. Please get wins for him. CJ Abrams leading off, playing shortstop. James Wood batting second. Your DH, Luis Garcia Jr. at second base. He's playing first. He's batting fourth. Nathaniel Low. Brady House batting fifth, playing third. Alex Call in left field. Daylon Lyle in right field batting seventh. Riley Adams behind the dish doing the catching. And Jacob Young in center field batting ninth.
The Nats, the Padres coming your way in 30 minutes right here on The Fan. Abrams and Wood have already terrorized San Diego in this series. Now you introduce Gore into the equation. It's been funny to see the production against their former team and to also see the reaction online of Padres fans. I don't fault them for the trade they made going and getting Juan Soto. If you remember, most Nats fans were livid and angry about it and hated it. And at the time, we're going, this is a hell of a return. They didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Padres fans had a chance to win a World Series, and they got three postseasons of Soto. They ended up using two of those, and they actually made an LCS run and almost got to and won a World Series with Juan Soto. It didn't quite work out. But you're close. You're kicking at the door. You might as well try to kick it down. But today, with Gore on the hill and the top two spots in the Nats order, their best players, all in that trade. I mean, it's hard as a Padres fan not to watch that and wonder what it might be like.
Yeah, Juan Soto's two teams away from you now.
Exactly.
And all these guys are, they're not homegrown, but they're there, and they're very much the core of the Nationals.
And by the way, all three should be in the All-Star game
in
San Diego next month. For Darris and Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. Thank you for listening to the show. NBA draft tonight. We'll have a full recap of it tomorrow starting at 2:00. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you for coming.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.